Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our text for this morning is the last verse of today's reading in the Hebrews, where it reads, and according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And further in verse 28, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. Dear friends in Christ and hearers, when you look at the text and when you think about what the writer is trying to say to us, he's saying on the one hand that there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. The whole Old Testament ceremonial laws and everything that surrounds that centers on Christ, but yet blood had to be shed somewhere for the remission of sins. As we almost come to the end of Lent, how much more can we think about the shedding of Christ's own blood for not only remission of some sins, but for all sins, that he gave himself to be the perfect sacrifice, the perfect ransom, the one who alone could make it right where we had made it wrong. Now that part we talk about very commonly. And that part we tell our friends, we tell our members, we tell the people we talk to in Bible classes, and we'll say, you know, God has forgiven us. God has shed his blood for us. Be joyful in the Lord for what he has done. Do you ever go any further? You might say, go further. Isn't that enough? What more do you want? The appropriation of that particular thing that God has won for us to ourselves by the Spirit and to others. To say, in essence, I believe that God has forgiven me. I believe what this says. I will live accordingly. I can say to myself, if you were to pin me down right now and say, you are really a bad guy, I'd have to agree with you. You are really deserving of the worst, I'd have to agree with you. And based on your acts, your deeds, and everything else, you should go to hell. I'd have to agree with you. But I could say one thing back to you, so what? Because my Lord has taken my place. He has not given me license to sin. He is not saying, because I died for you, sin that I might have something to forgive. He's not saying that. He's saying, I died loving you, I brought you into my spiritual body, that instead of sinning, you may say, yes, you are guilty on the one hand of sin, but on the other hand, you are perfect, redeemed in my own blood. So when the accuser comes and says you're guilty, I say, okay, you said that, not God. You ever think about that in your own lives? About guilt? You ever think about the things that may come up or have happened in your lives and you say, well, here we go again. Time to pay the piper. Sometimes you say that when midterms are coming. Other times you say it just every day when you wake up. Do you ever think in terms of you don't ever have to worry about someone else taking away from you the joy, the forgiveness, God has won for us in his own shedding of his own blood? Because it says right here, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin. That when our Lord comes, he's not coming to believers and say, now stand here, let's have a nice little trial. Start over there. It's not like graduation, you pick up your MDivs and so on. You have to have your name called and you have to respond to it. It's not a trial that you have to sit there and say, uh-oh, when he gets to my name, he's going to say all those things. I had that big TV screen flashback of all my sins, and God might say, now, no, you think I should let you into my heaven? No, that's not what he says. He's coming back to claim and to reinforce and to really say, you are mine. You are mine. I have no bones against you. I gave you faith, and now I'm going to give you the fullness of joy the fullness of joy. Not partial joy. Not half-hearted joy, but the fullness of it. You know, I talk to many people when I do a little bit of counseling. You know what their biggest problem is? Guilt. They can tell others about the love of God. They can tell others about the shedding of his blood. They can forgive anybody else, and they believe God has forgiven them, but they can't forgive themselves. They say it's all right for others to make that mistake. It's okay if they're stupid, but I'm not stupid. I'm the great, as one girl said, the great muckety muck. The great somebody, the great I am. They almost say that too. It's like saying, I'm above that. It's like saying, me get caught in your sin? My gracious, how terrible. I have to feel guilty for coming down to the level of what I am, a sinner. We oftentimes forget why Christ went to the cross, not just to get his name in the Bible, not that we can have Lent or Easter, but for our salvation. He wants us to know the freedom there is in not worrying about the noose of sin and guilt that will just choke us and give us not eternal life, but snatch it away from us if we don't have a rescuer. He says he's coming back as one who's done two things, offered himself up once for all sin. If Christ has offered himself up once for all sin, why do we reoffer ourselves as if we have something to do to make up for our sin? That old man really is alive and well. The old man says, you got to play it like the bookkeeper. You ever get your bank statement in the mail? And sometimes look at the bottom column. It doesn't say pay this amount. It says this amount is missing. And yours, the little codes, ODs, debit memo. And you say, oh my goodness, not again. When we do this, and we should have a debt to Jesus Christ. We should have a debt that we have to pay. Christ is saying it has been paid. He comes back as one who has died once, the perfect sacrifice for all sin, and being sinless, he comes back offering salvation, not damnation. How do you live with that? It should really give you a little joy. I should say a lot of joy. It should really turn you on. Because when you get those accounts that are not paid in full, when you get those accounts that you know of your own self, you can't do a thing about it, and no matter who we are, what situation we're in, everybody has a problem if they rely on their own deeds to be a good person. All of us, if we say, I can do it on my own, I can stand before God on my own righteousness, you got to face Isaiah, who says all of our righteousnesses are like filthy rags, and who keeps filthy rags? Even the fire department can get after us about that. They're dangerous, dirty, yucky. But when Christ comes and he says, come over here, come on, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, which was prepared for you before the worlds were made. When Christ says that, where's the guilt? Oh, right in this life, we're going to feel both things. We'll feel good, bad, and indifferent. The Christian life, when he reads about Jesus Christ, is not to imitate the perfection of Christ because we're not perfect. But to plug into Christ and let him, put it this way, use that power that God gives us every day when we're down to let him pick us up, when we're up to thank God for it and help others, and when we're blah to thank God we're not down. But in all aspects, giving thanks to God that we belong to him. And to know that if God were to make us those who have to give account of ourselves right now, we say in Christ, I'm free, I'm redeemed, and I'm innocent. Can you say that in your own life as we come towards Palm Sunday? Can you feel the triumph that was there that Christ gave us? Can you also live the joy of Easter every day and not just wait till the first Sunday in April? Can you now know that the negatives in your lives are not the things that negate God's positives? The law is real. The gospel is potent and more real. The law can condemn. The gospel alone saves. And Christ comes, giving us the good news that through him there is salvation. Do you feel like you're saved? You can say no to that, and I wouldn't blame you, because you shouldn't just go by feelings, okay? The better thing to say is, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord? Do you believe that he has done what he said he did? He gave himself once and for all. You and I don't have to go back and pay for it. He's done that. But what we can do is in the 10th chapter, 10th verse of Ephesians 2, we are as workmanship, create unto Christ Jesus unto all good works. And for what purpose? Which God has ordained that we should walk in them. We should walk in good works, thanking God for his deliverance. Saying thank you in every way, form, and fashion for the faith that we have, the deliverance that we have, and even the circumstances that come that really enshroud us or really try to pressure us down. Say, Lord, I'm thankful that you can get me out of this, and know that he can. He died once. He comes back, not to condemn us. Shall appear a second time for the salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him. And my interpretation of those who eagerly await him would be believers. If we are believers, we should be anxious to meet Christ with joy and not with sorrow. May it please Almighty God that during this Lenten season and during all of our lives, we can have the joy of salvation as we sing so often and live day by day in the joy of our forgiveness and justification. God grant this in his holy name's sake. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus now and forevermore. Amen.